Hi, this is Travis Robertson. Thank you for downloading the Lake Norman Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at lakenormancoc.org. We would also like for you to visit with us at a worship service. You are always welcome at the Lake Norman Church of Christ.
When you hear the word church, what do you think of? Some people think of various denominations. Some people, when they hear the word church, they think of the image that you see up on the board. They just think of a church building. And that's okay. You think about these things, and the word church, at least in our English language, has evolved, has changed. And usually when you hear someone say, "I'm going to church," you think they're going to a building like that, right? And I think that's okay. When you think about the biblical term, when the way that it's used within Scripture, that we hear the word church, it doesn't really give us the meaning that's really happening. I know a lot of preachers like to get into the fact that it comes from the word ecclesia, and one of them means out of, and the other one, one of them means called, one of them means out of. So you've been called out of the world, and they preach these wonderful sermons about how we've been called out, how we've been set apart, and all those wonderful things. But really, all the word means is a gathering, an assembly, that people came together. And that's the thrust of that word, is that we have all gathered together this morning to worship God. We've come together as His children to praise His name, to lift Him on high. An assembly. When you picture a concert, think about these people just gathering together. It's a natural thing for people to gather together. People gather together for concerts. Some people gather together at a theater to watch a play, or a movie theater to watch a movie. I know some people are looking forward to the Black Panther movie coming up. I've already heard a number of discussions about that already. And so people want to gather together to do these things. They want to be around other people. Now, you might say, there's some people I don't necessarily want to be around, but I want to go to the movies with my family or these particular friends, and I want to go to these concerts with these people. And so but you're surrounded by hundreds or thousands. This is probably one of my favorite images. This is the amphitheater in Morrison, Colorado, and it is the Red Rocks Amphitheater. Some of you may have visited there. It's a destination where people like to go and visit, and all kinds of concerts have gone on there. It's just that natural theater. It has the natural acoustics because of these red rocks on either side. It's a beautiful place to go. People gather there together to have an experience together. It's a natural human thing. I believe something that God has put within us, that we want to be around other people, that we want to gather together and have these experiences together. And so it makes sense when you think about the word church, that it is God calling us together, us assembling together, to have one voice, to have an experience together with Him, to be in fellowship with Him. We gather together for all kinds of different reasons. And it's not just concerts and these fun events. You think about weddings. When somebody gets married and you invite all these different people, some people like a small wedding, some people like a huge wedding. The more people that come, the more gifts you get, by the way. So just, that's a pointer for some of you that might be looking forward to that in the future. But when funerals come, we have families and friends and people come that we may not have seen for years, and they gather together to share and to mourn and to have these joyous occasions and these mournful occasions and be there and support one another. And God called us together as the church through His Son. It's a natural thing. And in the Old Testament, the people of God gathered together for various reasons. They came together for the defense of their people. In the book of Esther, where Esther is speaking to Mordecai, and she She tells him and to tell everyone else that we're going to fast and we're going to pray and I'm going to go in before the king. And then they gather together after that. They get that amendment or that extra rule or law written in that the Jews could defend themselves. And they work together in that. You also had moments in Deuteronomy and Exodus where they are gathered together to listen and to hear the reading of the law. Something that would take, you know, 5 to 6 hours at least. So I hope you're in for a bumpy ride this morning. 5 to 6 hours. I'm not going to do that to you. I don't know if my voice could hold out. But they gathered together to hear what the Lord's will was for them. An assembly, the church, is a gathering of people. And it is the assembling of Christ. Well, there, we call ourselves the Church of Christ. It is a biblical term. It pops up a number of times within the New Testament. And we are a gathering of people, and Christ is that focus of that gathering. There are defining moments in everybody's life. I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 16. There are defining moments that occur in everyone's life. And you may have a defining moment that helped you realize what you wanted to do with your life. You may have had a defining moment that encouraged you to finally put on Christ, to finally give yourself to Him. And I believe in Matthew chapter 16, there is this defining moment that Jesus kind of puts on Peter and puts on the disciples, all of them together there. But let's go ahead and start reading. Matthew 16, starting in verse 13, he says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?'" So he gets his disciples together. He says, "Who do people say that I am? What are they calling me? What are they saying?" And they said, verse 14, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or just one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter, of course, he's the one that jumps out first, right? Sometimes he puts his foot in his mouth, and other times it's a moment like this where, man, you just happen to say the right thing at the right time. And he confesses, and he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. But here is this defining moment where Peter confesses. Now, they may have believed this for some time, the disciples that have been following him. I mean, why else were they following him? Was it because of all the miracles? Was it because of all? Well, eventually it grew to the fact that they believed he was the Christ. Now, Peter's brother, early on, came to him and grabbed Peter and said, "We found him. We have found the Messiah. I want to bring you and I want..." So a lot of these disciples felt that way very early on after meeting Jesus. Jesus says, "Who do people say that I am?" You know, today people say, "You know, I can't completely discredit Jesus. He was a historical figure. He did live. It's proven that he lived, and it seems like he was a very good man." And people will say, "You know, he was even a great man. He did a lot of good things for people." But I don't believe that he is the Christ. And here's Peter saying, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." How about you? Who do you say Jesus is? You see, that's a defining moment in your life. When you finally come to that understanding and you believe, just as Peter, that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the one that was promised, the anointed one, the King that was coming, the King that has come, the King that has gone back, and the King that is waiting to come again. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you believe that, that is a defining moment in your life. And it's not just that moment that happens and it just goes off into the past. It's something that is carried with you each and every day of your life. If you believe that he is the Christ, what happens next? Usually you go through a number of things. There's repentance. You've made the confession. You're baptized. You're immersed in water. And you go through a number of those things. But as we read in Acts chapter 2 already, Mark read for us, it says that the Lord was adding them to his church day by day. And as you've made that confession, as you've done those things along the way, you've been added to his church, to the church of Christ. And that's not just the church of Christ in Lake Norman. That is his church, the universal church, that everyone that has followed his word and obeyed his gospel belongs to. And as that defining moment grows, you recognize all the blessings that come with it. A lot of times we focus on our individual relationship with God. Nothing wrong with that. We need to focus on that. We need to have our individual relationship strong. I remember when I first started to go down this path, and I was just solely focused on me and what I had with God. And that was the purpose. That was the goal. I was thinking about my salvation. Am I going to hell? Am I going to heaven? Is Jesus really who he says he is? Is the Bible reliable? Does all this really mean what it says? And once I came to that conclusion, it was a great, overwhelming feeling of joy and relief that I did everything. But I didn't understand everything that came next. That I was added to his church. And that I, all of a sudden, I had a family bigger than anyone. You know, that I had this family within the church that it didn't matter where I was, there was a Christian there. There was somebody there that, because of our relationship with Christ, we are united. We gathered together today and in one voice worship and praise God in our singing. In one voice came before him in prayer. All of us in communion with one another and with the Lord, partaking of the Lord's Supper, giving of our means so that we can continue and do the work of the Lord. That confession of Peter was a defining moment. And it led me to understand that I am now a part of the body of Christ. I am a part of his church. And that is probably one of the biggest blessings, besides your own personal salvation, that I recognize, is I have a family now. And I love my physical family. I love my mom. I love my brothers. I love my dad. I loved all those people. I love my wife. I love my kids. But I also love the church. It's his church. But in some respects, it's also my church. Because I'm taking part in it. Not that I own it, but that I am personally invested in it. It will always be Christ's church. He is the head of the body, as Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 1 and Colossians. But I have a role now within the church. And it is my family. And what a blessing that is. It's probably one of my favorite terms for the church, is the family of God. In fact, if you've grabbed any of the new cards that we printed out, one of the sayings on that card is, come and grow with what? Our family. Come grow with us here. The Lake Norman Church of Christ, the family of God that meets here. We want to grow together. We want to build each other up. We want to become everything God wants us to be. There's a song, and we're going to grab the songbook right now. Rob, I hope you know this song, because I don't know if I'll be able to lead it like I want to. But song number 608, 608. It's called God's Family. Now, this is a song that we used to sing at a particular congregation that I attended earlier on in life, and we would sing it after someone was baptized, and because we understood that they were added to the church and that they became part of the family of God, that they are a part of His church. Do you know it? Okay, all right. I'll start it, but Rob, you carry it for me, all right? We're part of the family that's been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us His own. Now we're part of a family that's on its way home. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. When a brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. When he's passed through the valley, we all feel relief. Together in sunshine, together in rain, together in victory, through His precious name. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. And those who go before us will all meet again, just inside of the city as we enter in. There'll be no more parting, with Jesus we'll be together forever, God's family.
together. Sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family.
Many of you here this morning are already a part of God's family. You've made that good confession that Peter made. Same one. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is the Christ. And you began that walk. Some of you are here this morning, haven't quite made that decision. But if you're ready to make it today, we invite you to do so. God's arms are open wide, and He's waiting for the prodigal to come home. Let's stand and sing.